Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, namaste, welcome to our call today. So here we are, it's almost spring equinox and or fall equinox, and we are in this very beautiful time of balance where the night and the day are the same length. So let's just wait a moment until everybody's here, and let's just sit here in a moment of silence and just being present with yourself, just being with what is. Just allow yourself to just sit with dignity and just kind of allow yourself, maybe with open eyes, just kind of look without any judgment in front of you. Look, just look around. Just behold things as they are without having to engage, control, push away, give meaning, don't label anything, just be here. We can call it a wide angle gaze. Just allowing the presence that you are to shine through. And then when you're ready, you can close your eyes for a moment. And just do that again. Open your eyes. Just behold things as they are. Do not engage. Just be alive. Being alive means being aware, being conscious, without naming, labeling. Which is what we do in third paradigm consciousness. We label and name. In fourth paradigm consciousness, we call it judging. We divide and push away and attract. And sort. We sort things that match our identification, the idea that we think of, we have of ourselves, and how we organize the world that we live in our mind. But just for a moment, we don't do any of that. We're just here. And then close your eyes again. And if we think in terms of power and the power modules, a time like the equinox is a moment of power. It's a window, it's a crack in time. Even on the linear levels of thinking. And you might be able to sense that silence, that moment, that gap. Allow yourself to be with that, become that as well, to become aware of it. And in that way, we are assisting the cellular body, the physical body, to become conscious of that beautiful balance that is happening right now as the yin and the yang are equalizing. So welcome everybody. I'd like to talk a little bit about what I mentioned the other day in the last Renaissance call about spiritual practices. And you also were interested in knowing more. So let's talk about that a little bit. And I sort of describe spiritual practices being like a trick. So we have to ask ourselves, what do spiritual practices do? Well, they're meant to basically help us slip into the center of the mind and transcend the mind, in essence, so that we can find ourselves, our consciousness, soul, and spirit, become aware of who we really are. So now, the practice itself, what does the practice do? It will basically make, create sort of either a pranic, an energetic dynamic, or a cognitive dynamic, like in Jnana Yoga, through asking, who am I? Or through the breath, which is also prana. It creates some kind of tension, you could say, where the imbalances that the identity, the ego creates, is being basically sort of challenged. And so when we do spiritual practices, that's why they're not convenient often, or we have a way of maybe avoiding it, or we find it difficult, and we'd like to not do this because it's like we go to war with ourselves, with our own created identity, and we push it and we pull it and we so that it creates some kind of balance so we can slip through, or by accident we slip through and suddenly we find ourselves as presence, for example, or as light, or just as such, whatever we want to call it. And so all spiritual practices are meant to do that. It can be done also through storytelling, where we are being lifted into a different perspective. So we kind of exit that limited way of seeing. Now, when someone finds that the spiritual practices just don't work, and you have done all the spiritual practices, and you know, and you've done so much and over a long period of time, you know, maybe even decades, and they just don't work. We have to look at like what that means. What is it that's not working? So we can revisit again the understanding that the mind is supposed to be quiet, that we're suffering from busy mind. And we have to understand then that the mind will continue to think just the way feet walk and hand grasp and eyes see and ears hear, mind is thinking. That is its function. So as the mind will ebb and flow through just the way our temperatures ebb and flow throughout the year, you know, summer, winter, fall, and all that, our mind will go through more quiet times and sometimes very busy times. And that's just the way it is. What is spiritual practice meant to do is for you to recognize that you're not your mind and not your thoughts, and not to be bothered by the thinking process. You're not supposed to be bothered. You're not supposed to suffer. The bother, being bothered, is the suffering aspect. Now, let's say you do a lot of spiritual practices and you're still bothered by your mind. You're attached. You are moving with the mind's motion up and down and up and down. Your consciousness constantly in movement, right? You're not just sitting still. It's like you're running with the mind up and down, like the waves, you know, constantly. You're realizing you haven't realized you're the water, but you think you're the wave up and down. Then we have to ask ourselves, what is happening? Have you done enough spiritual practice? Why haven't you, you know, dropped off that roller coaster? Maybe you've done lots of spiritual practices, but then let's say that happened, but it's still happening. You're still stuck in the mind. Then what takes place is we have to understand that we have free will. And the free will is very important, because the spiritual practice is not going to disable your free will. And that's what comes in my comment that the spiritual practices are a trick. Because free will, when somebody's identified with the ego, there is no free will in that. You can only have free will when you're in your core and you're disengaged, unclutched from the mind. Now, the spiritual practices are basically trying to trick the ego and kind of push and pull the energy so that you for a moment just let go and you lose control, as the ego loses control and you slip off, you know, the steering wheel, and you're just basically coasting as the self. And in that moment you have free will. And in that moment you have clarity, and you have an ability to reflect upon your practice. You have the ability to reflect, do I do more? What needs to be done here? You have insight. Something is basically maturing inside you for a moment. And one of the things that matures is the understanding that when you do a spiritual practice, you also have to then ground the realization of what you have, the freedom that you're gaining needs to be grounded in physical life. In other words, let me translate what I mean with that. You're living your life and you have a certain job, you're in a certain relationship, you do whatever you do, and you want to become enlightened and you do all these spiritual practices, but you're not going to change anything in your life. Everything remains the same. That will not work, because spiritual practice means you are constantly dying to yourself and being reborn, and it'll have certain consequences. We're diddling away all the karma and trying to bring forth the dharma, the true destiny, purpose, or your life that you really are. And that requires to make certain decisions. It's like the right and the left foot. Let's say left foot is your meditation practice, the inner work, and the right foot is the action. How do you ground that into the world? So when spiritual practices do not work or don't seem to have an effect and the mind remains very busy, and you are doing spiritual practice and you're literally really doing them, then there is a lack of making these things real in life and looking at soberly and honestly, honesty at things in life that we probably need to change. And it causes a lot of pressure. And because there's free will, remember, the spiritual practice do not override free will. We can choose not to make changes. We can also choose to subconsciously maybe kind of pull back the spiritual practices and just meditate just to the edge where we don't really get the benefit, and just sort of, you'd say, Instead of doing the 21 minutes, which usually create a shift in the mind, right, up to 20 minutes, let's say we'll just do 19 minutes. We just don't, when we say we do the spiritual practice and we just sit there, or we just really sit there for an hour and just go fantasizing, and then we say it's spiritual practice, but it's not. So we have to be very honest. We have to understand, why are we doing spiritual practices? Am I really allowing myself to shift out of the mind and to lose control? And am I then following my inner knowing, the truth that's being revealed, and basically implement that in life practically? And people who do serious spiritual practice, they will actually make a lot of changes in life. It's just the way it is. And that's, we see this in India, that the last stage of life is, as you know, you had your family and you raised your kids and everything is done, and then you go off and basically do your spiritual practice. Because knowing that if you do it while you're a father and all this, might change a lot of things, and maybe you can't be there and raise your kids because you're changing so much that you won't finish, you know, your father role. So that's the thing. Spiritual practices are, in essence, absolutely transformative, but we have to agree to it. We have free will, and we can basically do it and yet not do it. Also, we might not do enough, and we have to do a bit more. So I hope that helps with my comment about that spiritual practices are a trick. They are basically, because the ego does not, the identity here, does not want to lose its throne, you could say, be the king or the queen. And we do spirit, and the identity in the beginning says, oh, I love doing all spiritual practice, so great, I gain power, I gain awareness, I gain light, gain, gain, gain. And in reality, to the ego, it's actually the essence. It's going to be lose and lose, lose. And what you gain is your own true self. And that's, it's a very, very complicated process in the beginning when we don't truly understand it. And we come to places, even as advanced practitioners or yogis, where we have to relearn this and re-understand it. As many of you know, you kind of have to kind of, oh, okay, because the one that learned it before dissolved, and then you revisit this understanding. So, okay, that's what I wanted to mention about that. If there's any other comments, let me know. I'm just have a look here at my panel, and Davey has her hand up, so I'm just going to unmute you, Davey. Hey, Davey.
Hi, Rahima.
Hi there.
I want to sit with you. I wasn't here last call, and I have a couple questions.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead with the question.
Okay. Hopefully there's not a lot of people.
No, there's not. We have very small. Usually on Saturdays we have time here, so it's no worries. So.
Okay, because I have multiple questions, and mm-hmm. It's so funny you talk about the person that learned before dissolved, because today I actually want to ask you about the core. I know some of it. I feel like mentally I understand, but it doesn't stick. It doesn't stick with me. Mm-hmm. And I want you to, since you're a teacher, I want you to talk about why it's so important in the
to be in the core. Yeah, you know, like you probably just think, what is that? What's the core, right? The core is sort of a illustration. It's a visual that reflects the core, the Shushumna channel within us, which is the energy where the electromagnetic field does not exist. It's the source of it. So it's basically your true self. And it runs sort of parallel to the spine. So we have the physical manifestation of it is our nervous system. Our nervous system is where our, you could say, our awareness functions. If you cut off the nervous system, there's nobody there, right? When you're brain dead, there's nobody there. You know, you can't really function. So we have that on the physical level of your nervous system, all along the spine up to the head. And we have an astral tube, you could say, on the astral level that looks like a tube of light. And when we are meditating, we slip into that. And there's dimensions within that that are finer and finer until there is, it's thinner than a hair. You could say the width of a hair is the Sushumna channel itself, which is, you could say, the self, capital S-E-L-F, you know, it's the self. So that's enlightenment. When you identify with that part of you, you are free. But we identify with the alternating polarity spin that we're in, right? And so that gives rise to a sense of separation and the sense of being an individual, a form within, among many other forms. But we as humans can actually be a physical form, while have the realization that we are everything, which would be being the core. You might give it a different name, actually, if you want. Like, if you can find a way of making sense with that for yourself, you might call it something different. But because core, like, it's like apple core, it's just like the innermost. The core is like the innermost of you. So you have to be in the innermost. When we meditate, we want to let go of all the outer sensations and sensory input, and we're going to just kind of drop into the innermost that we are. And then you said, why is it necessary? Was that the other question? Like, why is it important?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, with what I just said, I think it makes sense to you why that's important. Otherwise, let's say somebody doesn't know their core at all. Well, when they die, their soul doesn't just disintegrate. No, that doesn't happen. But the soul will be unconscious. And when you're unconscious, you are part of nature. What does that mean? You're not part of spirit. You are basically without real awareness. You kind of devolve, you could say. You kind of become part of the greater natural evolution. And when we are identifying as the self, as the core, we actually awaken to our spirit, and with that to our true nature, because we are spirit, and with that we will feel fulfilled. We fill ourselves up with our spirit. We are fulfilled, and that's what makes us happy, and it's how we're designed. When we're not conscious and not identifying with the core, we are not living in a happy place. And what will happen is what we see, there will be compensations. There'll be drugs, mm-hmm. alcohol, and all these other weird things that go on, because people will not be happy. They try to find themselves, but they can't find it because they're unconscious. So when we do this work, that's why it's important. You must, at the end, you must really recognize and realize who you are. There's no way around it, because you're human.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So instead of staying in the core, I have an other word. It's like the center of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And my confusion is, when I'm in the center of the body, I feel like I'm everywhere. And I know since I was a child, I don't live inside the body. So I get confused.
Good.
Do you
okay.
see my confusion?
Yeah, I can see confusion. And I also spoken about it many times. The core is everywhere. So yes, when you're inside really yourself, the self is everywhere, and you are everything, the whole universe. That's why you're really outside then. When you're truly inside, you actually go outside as well. And inside and outside disappear. You go beyond it. You will eventually go beyond the sense of being outside as well. Because there will be a spiritual polarity right now. You're recognizing and realizing a spiritual polarity of when you go inside truly, you're actually on the outside. That will disappear, and that needs to be collapsed as well, and it will eventually. Make sense?
So it makes sense. So I feel like if I'm everywhere, I know what you're saying. Like when you're truly in the inside, you're outside at the same time. So do I need to worry about I'm not inside my body and I'm not grounded?
Well, that's different. Okay. That's different because the grounding is, has something to do with your nature, right? It's something to do with your prana, how you and your physical body is kind of relating to the earth and the heavens and all that. When you're inside your core, you're going beyond all that. You might say you're grounded into your into the core, but that's really it's not exact. It's not the same like being grounded in the, into the earth, because we're talking about polarity there. Grounding into yourself means more like you're really having a physical sense of being free, and you actually don't in that moment you are shifting channels almost. You're not in the reality of the nature and the physicality, but you're in the reality of spirit. And there's no above and below in spirit. Spirit is everything and everywhere.
Okay. So just don't worry about grounding. Just ground in the core, inside the center of the body.
Yes, if you can find the core and you're really grounded within you, you will naturally be also grounded into the earth. The reality,
okay,
though, yeah, exactly. Now, the reality is, you see, the core has three, is made out of three portals. So mm-hmm. when people are in the core, there's sometimes only in one or two portals. And then there could be a lack of fully being in the core. You're kind of sort of there, but some part of you is unconscious and is stuck in the astral and in the physical. So then sometimes you feel like, oh, you kind of, maybe you say, oh, I feel kind of ungrounded. You think you're in the core, but you're not really. So you have to go deeper into the core, and then you will also ground, like physically.
Okay. So while I'm sitting with you, would you please check for me, like, if I'm grounded to 3 points?
Okay. Let's say when the 3 points are really, when you ground in all the 3 points, you actually transcend them and you go into truly into the core. The three will become one. Let me say this, the seven chakras, you go deeper and then you go to the three portals and then you go deeper and you, there's only one, the oneness left, the self, the core. Right? So we basically want to go all the way into that. Yeah. Just kind of let yourself, just literally let yourself go and just be yourself. And go to the understand there's nothing that needs to happen because it's, everything already happened. So how would you experience yourself right now? Can you describe it?
Very expanded.
Mm-hmm.
Relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Like very peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it also that you've actually know yourself like this and you've always, it's like, it's almost like that's really who you are? Kind of there's a familiarity there somehow?
When you point it out, I will say yes.
Mm-hmm. Go into that. That's your, that's really you. And it gets easier. There you go. You feel, there you go. There's less pranic movement right now. Do you notice that? It's even more still. Can you sense that?
In a way, yes. But I feel a lot of things kind of moving inside my body.
Yeah, that happens because when you, and that's what we're doing with spiritual practice right now, right? We're moving towards spirit. What happens is that any attachments and these subtle things that are going on in the physicality and the unconscious, they're all being, everything's being shuffled around right now. You're literally going through a clearing and reorganizing right now. And more light you're holding more light now and awareness than just, let's say, 5 minutes ago. And that's sort of what happens, yeah. That's great questions. I think it might have been very interesting for other people to kind of follow into. Was there something else, or was that it, Devi?
No, I have something else.
Okay, go ahead.
My second question is, I am aware of my own projection,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not aware when people project on me, and how can I be more aware when people doing that to me, because it's nonverbal and it's subconscious.
Why would you have to know that other people project on you? Why would that be important for you?
Because I find that it happened a lot at work, and I unconsciously just take on their projection, and then I become that.
Right.
And then I react to it instead of knowing, okay, this is their projection. I don't have to deal with it. I don't have to mm-hmm. worry about it.
Yeah, that would be a way to do that, but it's a lot of work, and it's more of a psychological process, or let's maybe semi-spiritual. I would say we do it the more elegant way, which is be yourself all the time, like you are right now, because then you're in a place of absolute truth. And you're going to right away notice if somebody is trying to see you a certain way, because when they project, what happens is they just try to distort you into the shape of their projection, and you will feel that inside of yourself. It's like you're getting imbalanced, something is off, and that you just notice how you feel around people. Stay really strong, have a very have an inner stance. Let me say this. I know most people, because of the Christian imprinting, do not want to accept that this is a war planet. The polarities are constantly in a tug of war. Just the way right now winter is being defeated by summer. We're having this, you know, by spring you could say, but by the warmer season. There's always one winning over the other. This is just what happens with polarities. So we are living with other humans, and there's always on the energetic and the electromagnetic field, there's always a war going on. That's why we have boundaries, right? So if you have that understanding that in your heart, you can be open and free and be spirit, and you're being yourself. But on a physical level, you have very clear boundaries, just the way you're walking in your own shoes and wearing your own pants and your own jacket. Your energy field is your energy field. You have to guard it in that way by having this deep understanding that everybody around you can be your friend and an enemy in a flux. People flow in and out being friends and enemies. They project sometimes and sometimes not. Then they project and they're not. And occasionally you meet somebody who truly is also in their core and they actually really just are capable of loving. But that's very rare, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay. This is Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Good evening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this will follow kind of after what she was saying. I was listening to the Module 7, and in particular the Mystic Warrior,
mm-hmm.
and when Davey was talking about the core, you know, I wanted to, the holding space, the having no charge, because everything is, what we're experiencing now is the past, and that's how we manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? That by having no charge, having no thought, just being, that neutralizes
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Yes, I think what you want to say, let me see if I'm getting it correctly, that you have the understanding already that everything you see here, because it's physical, it takes time to manifest. It's the past. It already happened. It's already manifested. So in order not to be stuck in it, you remain neutral to it. You enjoy it, but you don't get you don't stick yourself to it, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and you mentioned in the Mystic Warrior how, like, if you're going to go live somewhere or you're going to go for a job, then do you connect with it in a way? Well, that was, I think I need to listen to it one more time, and then I'll just.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, after what you were speaking with Davey, is that what I noticed with the spiritual, you know, doing the practices, mm-hmm. that I find it interesting that it isn't, I'm just continually pulled forward by whatever it is, and it has helped me so much that it's like I every day I want to meditate, I want to do it, because I know that it's helping me to become stronger, to help me feel better. I notice how I interact with people, mm-hmm. And how I'm much more aware of myself and how I can identify when I'm suffering. Like these last couple of days with the full moon, mm. I felt I was bitchy. I just felt uncomfortable. So I wanted to ask you if when we are, you know, in the core, you know, that we are going to be affected by people, or we're going to be affected like by a full moon.
Okay. Yes, when you're in the core, you are your surface vehicle. When you're in the core, I'll back up even a bit more. When you're in the core, you're actually let's say you're really holding yourself in the core. You're literally in a meditative state then, 24/7, pretty much. You are not stuck in the world. You're sort of in a samadhi state. And what that means is that you're burning karma, which means is there's a constant flux of energy in the body where things are collapsing into zero point. Now, at the same time, the body is going through these lunar things and people and all that and engaging everywhere. So when you are in your core, you are actually actively dissolving the effects on you. But that doesn't mean you don't feel it until it's really dissolved. You see what I'm saying? You're going through the dissolution of a pattern or of a charge, a karma, right? Because we're here all having also the same karma. We all had the same full moon. We're in the same kind of time zone. We're living in the same moment on this planet. So we're all sharing this particular karma. And we're all here to experience it and be free in it and free ourselves from the effect of it, you could say, and become conscious to it. And so you will still feel things. And when you're in your core, you become more, and we gain more and more awareness. So this is why we're actually becoming more and more sensitive. But it doesn't mean we have to suffer more. We should be suffering less, but are increasing our awareness and our sensitivity.
Yes, I find it falls away quicker, or I choose something that makes it not uncomfortable. I choose not to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's when you were talking about being in the core, that there I've experienced more of a like a timelessness where mm-hmm. I'm recognizing how I try in my past. I've always been a do person. Now mm-hmm. I will catch myself and I'll go, just mm-hmm. be, and try to hold that space. So that
you have more awareness. You catch yourself. Yeah, that's great.
So one other thing is, you mentioned that when I worked with you on the Renaissance call, you were saying that we are clearing our bodies, and you know, with karma and all that kind of stuff. And I'd like you to check with me and see if I'm where I'm at in the portals as well. Because you mentioned that Louise was transparent, and so you could see things quicker. But, you know, when we're working through all these things and we're clearing ourselves out and getting rid of karma, could you explain a little bit more of that?
In terms of being more transparent or not?
Well, is that, well, I mean, not in a comparison type of way, just
yeah,
that
the function.
We're when we meditate, we're dissolving, we're clearing, we're, you know,
mm-hmm.
or even day to day, just working towards something, why our practices are so important.
Mm-hmm. Can you do a question? Yeah. What exactly? Sorry, I'm not quite. I'm totally what you're saying. Absolutely correct. I'm trying to find out what I can help you with. What is exactly the question?
I guess just sit with me if you don't mind, and then see.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't imagine that I'm transparent. I know how much the work I've done with you, how much more I'm in my body, and how much more I am aware, and how I can feel that I am,
mm-hmm.
I'm evolving, I'm working, dissolving, whatever you want to call it. I know that I'm working towards it.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like I'm not into my second and base chakra yet. And we were talking about Kundalini before, and so I'm just trying to kind of feel my way.
You know, there's always this interesting discussion about enlightenment and healing, and also where they overlap, right? Or, you know, you can be completely, let's say somebody can be very, very physically sick or whatever, and we have lots of blockages, but they can be completely free and know who they are, and they can be resting in that, and they can be in that transcendental consciousness. Now, look at Ramana Maharshi. I mean, he had cancer, right? He even, you know, got beaten up by somebody. It's not like people say, oh, when you're enlightened and you emanate all this peace and nobody will bother you. Well, no, it's not really like that. But we're talking about these, you know, we know these people from the third paradigm. So they had to kind of go into a transcendental state. Well, and we're in a different time now where the physical itself is actually ascending from 3D to 5D, which is a much more clearer or more transparent state physically. Doesn't mean you're light already, but definitely much more pure, much more, everything's just functioning better. Everything's just not, let's say, less blockages or something. And so we're in a sort of weird time where everything's just happening at the same time. So it is amazing that we have to sort of straddle our understanding through, you know, these different paradoxes almost. So if you have the awareness, Jeannie, you can catch yourself, you know, when you're caught up or something, you make it, and you have the ability to choose, I don't want to go down that road, I'm just not going to get engaged, I am going to just take a breather or whatever. So that's freedom, right? If you can do that all the time under any circumstances, you would be literally liberated. Now, at the same time, the current times are wanting from us to be physically also much more clear and to release the concepts of the third paradigm, which have to do with your base chakra and the second chakra, right? So the base chakra is the physical, the Bu, the plane of earth, the Bu plane, right? And and so you can feel somehow, hey, that's bothering me, and that's totally fine. If you were like Ramana Maharshi, you would just say, Jeannie would say, I don't care, I'm not this body, I am spirit, I'm not getting engaged, I'm allowing that to do whatever it wants at its own timing. But here you sense that it's bothering me. I want to also heal myself into a freer consciousness. Let's call it that, healing into consciousness, you know, like healing more of the physicality into space. And so I don't know if that helped what I just said, but so there's different things going on. Maybe that helps you to not get too caught in healing. Do you know what I'm saying? At the same time, it's important, you know. So, well, let me sit with you for a moment.
Thank you.
See, you can feel that you're quite strong on the heart. Can you sense that?
I can.
Good. Awesome. So what you can do is, because we always want to work with our strength, the physical place, the physical body, physical world is a place where, like I said, it's like a battle, right? Like you're battling for more space and more room. You want to be more here on the physical plane. More, the love that you are wants to expand and take room, take up space. So just make that decision that you have the right to love, and you're going to take that right in the space to really be here on the physical plane as who you are, as that spirit, that love that you are, that you're noticing in your heart. And that is a way to, basically you could say, blow out those blocks, you know, or to transform them.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, great. Okay. Good. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Mariana. Mariana.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Just trying to recalibrate my thoughts after all of that oneness. I have a few things I wanted to share with you. I wanted to sit with you, and I wanted to ask you a question. And maybe I'll start. My question is about the dissolution and the rebirth. I feel that I'm in a constant state of dissolution and rebirth. It just one flows into the other. And I listened to your dissolution rebirth MP3 last night, and I got a lot more clarity of where I was, because I just felt that I just was in this endless stream of it. And as you know, it's been huge. But I had an understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this, and by listening to that incredible piece that you shared, you know, about the dissolution and the rebirth, it's like controlled abandon, you know, like it's a high art of living. Mm-hmm. And the way you worded it was just supreme, you know. You're just telling us just to set sail, you know, with our rudder and our sail and chart our course, you know, with the elements. And I feel that's what I've been doing. And I realized that the dissolution and the rebirth, that the reason that they've come together, and I've only just had this awareness just in this last hour, is because I'm coming in and out of the oneness
Exactly. Or call it core for Devi, so she can follow into that. Exactly. When you are constantly you know, in that, then of course you're going to speed up the Trinity, right? It's just, you know.
That's right. And I couldn't understand this last 2 months. I was so disappointed in myself why I was in this constant state of dissolution. And then at the same time, I was happy, you know, like I was still happy. I was still joyful, but everything was falling apart. And so I've just realized that is the dance of oneness. That is the dance of creation. You know, that in and that out. It's, you know, it's like I always go back to the belly dance movement, you know, that sacral movement, that in and that out, that coming into that point, that is the dissolution and the rebirth. And so it's okay. And it's like that ecstatic union that you mentioned before, you know, the yin and the yang, you know, bringing that together, that's the same, you know, the balancing of the polarities. And just realizing that there was just this total, I just relaxed, you know, it's like, oh my God, it's okay. It's okay to be in a constant state of dissolution and rebirth. You know, it's actually okay. It's fine.
You know, it's, and of course the fact is that you might have thought, you know, 2-3 years ago, what's this kind of really weird, is because 3D paradigm is a crystallized a kind of the same. Remember, like our parents or grandparents would always do the same thing, and then later, and so, but because we are literally as a whole species in a process of a dissolution, literally. We are going to be spiritually, we are already able to live this. And we are actually, and this is going beyond a little bit of WLS, but still important, is that we are literally the expressions or the medicine, the active ingredient of this transformation on the planet. Because the people that are, let's say my neighbors, I'm looking out the window, you know, and they're still in their whole 3D world. They're still crystallized egos while we are here constantly blasting our photons out, you know, and our aura, and they're just starting to be hammered away until they go through a dissolution. But we're the active drivers of it. And that's why we are more the Kali. Right now in this yuga, we have a strong Kali expression. But wait when we get to 2030, we will slowly go into a Saraswati, because we're going to build a small rebuilding when Saraswati is a rebuilding energy, and we're going to be more in a creative process. Right now we're in a destructive process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been in a while.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so we are the creative. So what you're saying is we are the creative principle, you know, being the Kali principle.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I wasn't on the last call, the last Wisdom Life call, because, you know, as I said, we were 7 days without amenities, and but I was very aware that the call was on because I'd already mapped it in my diary, and I was up early, you know, I was up at 5, and I was outside and it was raining because I had to move furniture from the garage, you know, to the trucks because they were collecting all the rubbish. And you mentioned, I was outside and I looked down at my feet, and there was a great big black snake, and I was like, oh my God. You know, it was a very big one. It was a poisonous one. I didn't know that at that point, but Maria identified it. And so the whole probably hour and 2 hours of that call, I was dealing with the snake. You know, it was very, it was huge, because it actually got into my garage. And then the garage doesn't look like a garage. It actually looks like an art studio. So it has a trillion places to hide. And the girl said, it's okay, Mama, it's just going to stay there, and we're just going to just leave it there, and we're going to get a snake catcher, you know. But we couldn't even ring a snake catcher, and then the snake catcher wouldn't have been able to get to us because of the road. So I was just sitting here thinking, no, and I'm terrified of snakes. I've got to, you know, put my big girl boots on and get this thing out of the garage, and we did it. So the whole 2 hours of your call, I was fighting that snake, and we got it out. It was just like a miracle.
But you know, that's very interesting. You know, snakes and also some insects are actually, because they don't really have ears, they go by vibration. They're actually attracted to spiritual vibrations. Kundalini and snake, we also, you know, they're.
Oh my God.
So that is also why they come close, right?
I know. Well, then I had that, and then I had an intruder coming in the other night. So that was, I had to be very, very brave, like again, face my fears and say, okay, I was on my own. Again, have to, okay, I'm not going to just hide under the duvet. I'm going to go and turn the lights on, and I'm going to make my presence known. So, and then yesterday, you know, you're talking about, I forgot the word that you used, but it's almost I don't know what the word you used, but it's, you know, it was to do with our spiritual practice and really, I suppose, claiming our sense of that, I suppose. And the girls went to stay with their father. You know, they go maybe 3-4 times a year, and he was vaccinated. They're all vaccinated up there. So they were away for 4 days, and I was, you know, healing them while they were there. But when they came back, it was very... they still brought back a vibration that I needed to clear. And Maria had this USB. You know USBs? Do you have those over there? USB sticks?
Mm-hmm.
She had a USB stick, and I kept looking at the stick for 2 days, and it was a great big one. And I said, what is that? And she said, oh, that is a download of it's called a movie. It's called a television program called Killing Eve. And I picked it up, and I said, that's got to go. That is not being played in that house. You know, like I'm having to claim more boundaries, you know. And I said, that's actually just got to go. She said, oh, no, no, Mama. She said, that's really amazing. I said, no, it's not. I said, it's terrible. And the minute I picked it up, it was as if the demonic entity in this killing of Eve started attacking me. It was unbelievable. It, my throat, my stomach, my knees buckled. I had to use the shrine, I had to use the white sage, I had to use the candle, I had to use the Sri Data, I had to use everything that I could. And now that thing is outside, and it got rained on last night, and it's going in the rubbish bin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a really big fight. Twice it came at me because I was very aware of the demonic presence in this thing. So it feels like so that's gone. But I really had to say, and like the girls, they don't drink, they don't go night clubbing, but sometimes maybe a bottle of wine comes in, and I was looking at it thinking, well, I would prefer them to experience that at home rather than out, you know, because they're 21 and 18. But the few times that they have, it's been very detrimental to me, and so I've had to say no more of that either, you know, like, because I don't drink, we've not had any alcohol in the house. So it's really claiming much more radical boundaries than ever before. Like my mother wants to come and visit, and she takes
You know, and that's normal, because the more open you are and the more aware you are, the more you will become more intolerant. You become more specific, because you know yourself so well, you know the energy so well, and they'll feel, people who are strong and strongly in ego, they actually are so. Look at the people, just, you know, it sounds political right now, but the people that are very left, they're just so understanding and so lenient, all this. But it's actually, the more ego there is, but when you really wake up, you become very clear what's okay, what not, because you have to be very precise. Yeah.
Well, so, and it feels like that Kali cup has to be so clean and clear. And I've maintained it, but it's like I have to maintain it even to more precision now.
Yeah, the more power. You're learning to be more powerful. So you said you had a question as well. What question did you have?
Well, I think the question was about the dissolution and the rebirth so that was my question. And
right. Okay, so we already answered that. Good. Okay.
I could just sit with you, please, and just where I'm at now.
Well, you mentioned it yourself. You're in a place where you have to claim your power and to not feel uncomfortable with it, and to allow, because it sounds, we have a lot of Kali energy right now, obviously, in this year. So to not allow yourself to resist it or to think that's wrong or to get it over with, and to be okay with being disliked. Your girls might not think that that's not fair or whatever, or people, and so we learn the power to go against the projections of the people and the judgment, and that's very important right now. So
thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, thanks, Mariana. I'll be moving on. We have lots of hands up here. I'm going to go to Donna. Hey, Donna.
Hi, Fatima. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, thanks.
Good. So many people have spoken things that was on my mind to ask you. Now I'm a little.
Just let it come.
Bear with me to get the words, because a lot of times when I'm in touch with you, I have no words.
That's good. That's my point.
Okay.
That's what I need to do.
That is good. Well, you know what I wanted to ask you? I'd spoken to you about this, about having these very, you know, deep and wonderful experiences when I'm in touch with Source.
Mm-hmm.
And, meaning that still point and that just that incredible bliss. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is a distortion of mine, but I don't know if having the experience then stirs up the dissolution. Because
yes.
what I is oh okay good that's what I was going to ask you, because what I find I wish there was just a little more balance because
I wish that
yeah
too.
Oh do you okay
yeah because that's what I just said you know earlier to Mariana. We're in a place where things are literally constantly collapsing and I think they'll speed up so it's not comfortable but when
right.
we understand it, it's like what can you do right it's just the way it is
yeah. Yeah, sometimes I have to keep breathing and then just remind myself that this is not going to last forever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But it will stir up a lot of identity and a lot of, especially stuff that I thought that I had dissolved, you know, comes back around again. So,
Well, it's because this year things will be washed out of the cells, you could say. And in terms of like, and that's good for everybody. Like when you understand the forces and the doshas, when we are in so much dissolution and there's so much vata, right? There's so much movement.
Mm.
To really make sure that you take time during the day where you just, I don't know, like I just sit there, look out the window at the mountain, or just kind of really slow down, and because otherwise we're just. It's just really hard, right? To continue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I do, you know, because I live right on the ocean, that sometimes I just have to distract and just stare at the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
stare, you know, just place myself near the water. And well, I just have one other quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you also? I think you mentioned this in WLF, but can you also talk about why you suggested the Wi-Fi in the house and how that helps with the cleanse? Because I kept turning it off and I've had the most intense dreams.
Yeah. Well, I think...
Does one affect the other? Or?
Let me explain it through the language of the Sufis and Islam, because they have really explained it the best, is that between the third and fourth dimension is the jinn world, yeah, which is basically they can take on any shape and form. In Sufism, they will say there aren't really Dracos or this and that. They're all actually the jinns. Like, they're all part of the evil. It's just a general word for evil. They can take on any form. They live way longer, and they are electrical. Now, when you have too much, why do we ground? Because there's too much electricity in our nervous system. So when we have too much electricity in our nervous system, we basically get angry, irritated, and there's a lot of movement and all this destruction goes on. It burns out our nervous system and it makes us age and all that stuff. So the whole practice of Sufism is about cooling things down and getting rid of that electricity and basically making ourselves so that we can enter into the heart space and we're not caught in this nervous system all the time, or in other words, going crazy thinking about things all the time. Now, because they're electrical, and the Aquarian age is a very electrical age, they actually run and live through electrical vibrations and all this radiation.
Wow.
And it's being used, what we call the deep state, to program, feed, and interact with us. So these jinn, the jinn world or the evil, lives and connects through us through Wi-Fi and phones and TVs and all that.
Wow.
So when you cut off your TV, I mean, I can feel it right away when it's off. It feels cooler right away, and I feel that constant vibration, a constant constant bombardment of my nervous system is interrupted. Now, what will happen is that they might have had a certain amount of influence over you that they will start attacking you anyway, but they're kind of mad, right? But yeah. It could also be that you are actually clearing things out, which is, I think, more likely. You're clearing things out, and you're now, before they were so unconscious, now they have not so much control, and they're becoming revealed. Mm-hmm. And in Islam, they say that in the end days, the evil forces will be seen and revealed, and which is what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Well, yeah, that's pretty. Some of the dreams are very. They involve a lot of terror, so which is
it's all that.
You know, like wow, I'm like, I have to really wake myself up, you know.
Yeah, and you can just start laughing or just whatever. Yeah. You are much more powerful than these, and they. Mm-hmm. The thing is, they're vindictive because just remember they live thousands of years, and they inter. Mm-hmm. I think I talked about this. They interface with our reality. They were here before us, before humans were created, and they don't like that. You move in somewhere and they live there because you can see them in the parallel, we call astral reality. And they also remember things that your great-great-grandparents did because they live longer and they just go after you because they're still mad.
Oh, wow. Mm. Wow. So would you suggest, like, when we move into the heart or the heart energy, mm-hmm. it can help dispel. Do you know what I'm saying? It's more electromagnetic, right? And
they're electric.
Electrical.
They're electrical.
Yeah.
Yes, and the heart is the balance of it, which is love, the electromagnetic balance, the neutrality. You're neutralizing it, and they can't engage, right? So my suggestion was to physically, literally interrupt their impact on us. Mm-hmm. Because people do get, there was just like a couple of weeks ago, there was again some broadcasting message that they put through. And remember in December, I heard, hey, why don't you get the vaccine? It's not that bad. I'm like, are you kidding me? And it was a voice in my head, like my own voice. And then I heard others heard that too. And so I know they are putting out these things and it comes to the Wi-Fi.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's something to certainly be conscious of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bring oneself back to one's heart. Yes, thank you for that. And I know there are other people, so may I just sit with you?
Yeah,
at the end?
Okay.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Donna. That's great.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Okay. We are here with Shelly. Hey, Shelly.
Hey, Ratima. No questions tonight. I was wondering if I could just sit with you.
Okay. Okay. Let's do that. All right. Thanks, Shelly. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I have Vainuna here. Hi, Vainuna.
Hi, Ratima. Thank you for this call. It's just been so great. I have a couple of questions. One of them just came up when you were talking about the Wi-Fi again with Donna. And I've really noticed the difference. Where I lived before I moved the house, I could just unplug the Wi-Fi every night. I did that. Here where I'm living now, I haven't found it yet. And what I just found out, it's in a crawl space under the house where there are boxes to unplug it.
Really?
And
that's
yeah,
complicated.
So very complicated, right? Like, and so I have to figure out how to get in there. There's a trap door into the, you know, and all this. But I went, well, so for the last 3 weeks, I haven't been able, I thought I was unplugging it because they had something that looked like it, but it was just for the TV, and which we don't use. So it's like I've noticed this heaviness and challenge at meditating more since I've been here. Like it seems to be progressive, like I was okay, and then it just seems now it's more challenging. The mind seems to be more ping pong ball effect almost. And
are you in a new place? Are you in a new place?
Yeah, renting this place for 3 months, right? So
when did you go there? Like, was this recently?
Yeah, like within the last 3 weeks, like just on like the end of February, right?
Yeah, you will be, it'll take some time until you neutralize and adapt to all the energies around you, right?
Mm-hmm. And so for the Wi-Fi thing, then all I feel that, you know, that I've been doing is just prayer and light and protection at night, because I can't turn it off. Would that be?
That's what you, well, you, there's you can also you know, like what we learned in the healing, you just tap your immune system and just reset yourself not to engage with it. You might do this a few times, and
okay.
This is sort of and then maybe you get some shungite and sleep with those.
Oh, good idea.
And they're really, when I put shungite on my computer, I literally can't move my mouse. It literally blocks it. Like, it has quite a strong effect. And whatever,
okay.
There's so much stuff out there. You can actually get boxes that you put in your room and all that. That helps quite a bit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. Well, so the next question, is about the spiritual practice that you were talking about and how it tricks, you know, us into self. And just wanting to make sure I'm understanding this correctly, in the way of because we have free will to turn away from it, right? So like if I'm doing my spiritual practice, which I do every day, twice, you know, like what you were saying, but then through free will refuse to change whatever it is that needs changing, right? Like whether it's relationship, work, whatever, I'm then not making spirit real. I'm not making what I'm doing, or not even what I'm doing, but who I am real. I'm still allowing the lila, the falseness of it to.
Yeah, and you're accumulating energy, right? That starts spinning, and you're redirecting it, and your mind starts spinning even more, or you get not sleeping well or something. It'll have some consequence. You can't just generate energy and awareness and then push it down somewhere. It just doesn't work. It'll go somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. And so then, even if that's like, I'm thinking, like I agree with you. Like it feels like sometimes that I unconsciously, sometimes maybe consciously, have created a spin cycle. Like what you're saying, like the spin cycle of seeing maybe something that needs to be evolved into a new way of doing it, or you know, new relationship or whatever it is. And then kind of putting it off, like my procrastination thing. And so then, therefore, that would create the more active mind and the more feeling of stuckness, I guess, right? Like of just spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning.
Yeah, exactly. Because the thing is that when you develop awareness, and the more awareness there is, the more one has to activate the ego to suppress the truth, because awareness is truth, right? But if we don't want to see something, we have to actually make our ego stronger and start, and then we go into manipulation processes. And we can actually then redirect that in, I mean, look, there's white and black magicians, right? They have a lot of energy too, and they develop a lot of energy too, but they're using it in a way that makes the ego stronger. So we have this free will. What do we do with the energy? This is why it's very important that we have to be humble. The more we progress, the more humility has to come in, the more gratitude, the more really letting go and surrender, and the more not trying to understand it all and figure it all out, because who's going to use all that anyway? It's just like the mind, right? So there has to be more love. And at the end, we're trying to become love again. And how do we get to love? Not by riding a bicycle or breathing a lot. We need to activate love. We need to open the heart and love. Then we can become love at some point.
That's beautiful. And when sitting and doing spiritual practices and having the experience of love, and then if that experience doesn't seem to transform into every area of the life, then I know that even if it's unconscious, I have an unconscious, I'm unconsciously choosing not to be love. Did that make any sense?
Yeah. I think I got that.
I don't even know if I got that. So because what has happened today with what you're saying in that is it's so helpful, because I feel I've become more conscious of the use of free will, mm-hmm. that I have been using it unconsciously to, you know, stop things, right? Like, because mm-hmm. it's going to mean change. And then the idea that I'm letting my ego get stronger is just ridiculous, right? To do that, right? Like all the work and doing all this and then just allowing the ego to get stronger. Just, yeah. So it's wonderful.
Well, because, it comes down again to what I often speak about, devotion and love is very absent in North America. And it's much more prevalent in simple people, like people that are more, you know, kind of not as complicated as modern people. But in the good old days, 3D, for example, my guru said, I live in the practices. He didn't want my devotion. He wanted me to find myself in the practices, to find him in my practices. So I did them because I loved the guru. But you can also love God. You have to love life, the universe. And that's why you do these things. And when there's love involved, these practices really start working very well. If we just do them because we want enlightenment, for it's the I that wants everything. And in the beginning, that's normal. But as we advance, that needs to go away, and we need to basically ask less questions, just do the work and not complain, literally. You know, I mean, that's the way I see it, because that's the way I treat myself. It's just like, get on with it. That's how I treated myself. You know, I just went through times when my ego wanted to just fight, but I'm like, no, shut up and just forget it. You don't matter. The ego doesn't matter right now.
No, it doesn't, right?
We have to discipline ourselves. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I truly appreciate it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. All right. We're in Toronto here. 41623. Is that Pina, maybe?
She's a child.
Who's that? Yes. Oh, is that Pina? Okay. Yes. Hi there. Hi there.
Yes. Hi. Hello.
What's Hello. That? Ciao.
Ciao, Bella. after hearing so many things being said, I have to try and go back to what I wanted to ask.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with prayer.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just walk with me for a second. Being raised or born in the 60s and growing up in 3D,
mm-hmm.
I learned many patterns through religion.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer was always... that where two or more gather together, mm-hmm. there, you know, you'll be there in the midst. And that was, outward, holding hands, someone else would speak on your behalf. And it was always an outside, because of lack. So you would give a list of what you need, what you want, you know, help from God. So mm-hmm. obviously that ship has sailed.
Mm-hmm.
So, not too many talks ago, group calls, you talked about letting go of religion. That was a great day. It was, yeah, I kind of flew off the ledge like a bird. Thank God. Thank you. So after saying these things, I obviously have come further in my life. And I find myself, if I can just jump a few steps now, prayer has turned more into meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation has taken me to all these different layers of space,
mm-hmm.
where there was this day that, lo and behold, I found that I was this big ball of light.
Mm-hmm. And this ball of light just joined in with this vast, where there's no longer words here.
Mm-hmm.
It was something now that I am,
mm-hmm.
and have been, and but I find that I am in this state. Again, I'm trying to just
mm-hmm.
choose right. words here because
yeah.
I've never said these things before,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want it to be a concept.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in this space, and I don't hear anything, and I'm fine with that. But lately, I feel that I want to say something, but I have no words.
Mm.
Like I'm in this place now. I am with all this light, and I get to say something, but I don't have anything.
And that's okay. That's okay.
It is, but I think that it might be a moment now where pushing that, okay, when two or more gathered together and there he was in the midst, it was like an agreement. We had an agreement and then things happened. So rewriting history, I mentioned that a couple of, I put it on, I think I answered something on Facebook or I added something on Facebook, which I don't normally like to do, but something about these things, prophecies that have been foretold, these things that, you know, talking about Wi-Fi and these, you could call them, you know, the mm-hmm. names that you said, but I think they're like entities,
mm-hmm.
like others, you know, I don't even want to give them that much of my attention. Whatever mm-hmm. it is, I know that there's something else around, but it has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually don't do much because I'm in the light. But I feel like this might be a time to rewrite what has been foretold. And the irony is a joke because it was the past, in the past, that they foretold prophecy to what would be in the last days that we'd be living in, all these signs, food shortages, pestilence, wars, after one war after another. Like these great big things that would be, the whole world is involved here. It's a composite signs. It's not just parts of the world. The whole world is involved here. So the prophecies were said in the past, and prophecies are future. And we all know that that doesn't exist. There is no past. There is no future. Those are just stories. We're here now in the present moment. So here I am, if I could go back to where I was, mm-hmm. in the light. This vastness with all this presence, and I feel like something is something I need to say, and then my body gets all upset, my heart gets all upset. So it's like, you don't know what to say, you shouldn't say anything, I have no scriptures, but I'm so empty.
Yeah, that's okay. Just, you see, you're describing different parts. There's, you are the light, then there's just my body, then somebody wants to say something. So there are all these different pieces. So that's also a story as well. So you're already seeing all the other story. Just let that story go as well. And just don't care about any of it. Go beyond the light. Go beyond my wanting to say something. Cause it's a desire. It's time and space here, right? Wanting something is a desire. So be just aware of it. You don't even have to do anything. Just be aware of it and find peace. Just know that the suffering that you're feeling right there is also a trick. Yeah. Like the way you just described the entities, their tricks, this, what you experience is a trick as well. Still
yes.
The Leela. Yeah.
Yes, I call it attachment and releasing these attachments. When you say go beyond, even beyond the light, what is my body doing?
The body is a perception.
I can do that washing. Sorry, go ahead.
Your body is a perception, but if you are really the light, there's only light. That's what you are. And don't worry about the body then, because the body is something that exists through you being the light that takes care of itself. It's like you don't worry what's happening across the mountain right now.
Exactly. Yeah. So I could be doing the dishes
I could be walking the dog. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, because that would be, you know, my body. Anyway, so again, I know the light is what we are. That is the life that we are. I have no question there.
But we are more than.
I'm busting through something.
We are not even the light. You cannot. You don't know what you are.
That's
you're
right.
Not, yeah. Okay. Light
I
is.
Need to ask something. To go through that.
You can say, "Who am I?" and not answer it.
What about? I am light. I'm walking through. It's almost like I'm not asking like I need permission. I am it already. So why not?
Yeah, if that works for you, that's good. You are your own medicine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Whatever it takes you into the freedom is just exactly the right thing to say or not say. It's totally perfect. You just have to show up with honesty and awareness. That's all you have to do, right?
And it's very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no point in that quietness that you could say a prayer. I say joy to the world. I say peace on earth.
That's,
and I actually, from that state, actually feel like it's actually activated.
It's you're in a spiritual realm right now, and the spiritual realm is a realm that we can get lost and stuck forever. My invitation in this WS and Wisdom Life School is to go beyond and be truly liberated. You can enjoy and play in the spiritual realm as much as you like. And what you're saying right now, what you're experiencing is real, and it also works, what you're saying. But ask who wants to say the prayer. Find out who you really are. That's my invitation. I'm just reaching out to you with that invitation.
So walking through the door of the heart to the heart sanctum and feeling emptiness, no, feeling, you're not feeling anything, you're empty.
Mm-hmm.
My mind wants to say, now what? And then I just don't hear it. I just, okay.
You
just
stay.
Something my mechanics came up with. It's not
yeah,
I follow
exactly.
It. I just... Is something else happening here?
Well, everything that's happening is in time and space. If you remain the emptiness and you forget time and space and forget even to watch and look, don't even look anymore, then you are going to true surrender, and then you get burned up like the moth in the flame. So you can't make it happen. You know, grace will make it happen. It is a forgetting of who you are. It is a true death.
So who are you after that?
Just, it will reveal itself.
You still got to wash your dishes. You still got to walk the dog. You know.
That's what you learned and read somewhere. Yes, but you haven't experienced it yet. So allow yourself to find out, is it really true? Let's see. And just really walk. Really walk. Because the mind always comes in and hijacks everything. So allow yourself. Don't give it anything. Pay really attention.
When you're doing a retreat and you actually have, you know, our bodies in front of you,
mm-hmm.
I imagine it's much more than this.
Yeah, because you're close on the Kundalini, you know, the eight
yeah.
feet. Yeah, it's a bit more intense.
Yeah,
yes.
You spoke so beautifully about that not too long ago, about mm-hmm. the connection that it's when you're all together. Mm-hmm. So at some point, do you ever speak and... Everyone is kind of using their consciousness attention on your words.
Oh, yeah.
Allowing their light to become joined.
My retreats are, I'm actually have chosen at some point a few years ago to be very casual. You will meet me like a friend, and it might look all just like regular, because I call it meeting in the natural habitat, and that's when it's, I find most effective. I don't do the formal, you know, sitting in front. At times I do something like that where people just literally are all quiet and solemn and really serious. I just do it differently, and I flow with what I find is most effective. And and I can, when people trust me as a human being, they can sometimes take better certain kinds of what I call an uppercut or something. Suddenly I just jam the ego somewhere and it can handle it better because they know I mean it well. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever pulled up in your backyard in an RV and asked to sit there?
It might happen this year.
I want to come so bad. It's just
maybe this summer. Everything's going to be open for travel, so I will have a retreat here, and maybe people will come. So I'll thank you for sharing that. I hope a lot happened here. So it's good.
A lot of electricity has calmed down. I was tapping my.
That's good. Yes. Okay. All right.
I'm just calming myself down because this has got to go. This electricity's got to go.
Okay. Well, thanks, Bina.
But thank you so much. Can I just talk with you just before
for
you
a moment? Okay. For a moment.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
Grazie.
Grazie. Grazie. Coming to Sally here. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Ratima.
Hey.
Hi. You know, when you were talking earlier about the djinns, I had told you some time ago about I had been meditating, and I finished the meditation and was coming out of the meditation, and the TV was off. And then this sort of thing jumped out of the TV.
Right. I remember, yes.
I was thinking, maybe it's a djinn. I don't know.
Well, you can call it in different traditions. I just use this word because it explains the nature of it very well in Islam. In our tradition, we have this word demon, and we have entities, and there's all this confusion. And I find that, I'm just going to turn the light on, it's got dark here. And so it's kind of easy to explain in context of the electricity. We don't talk about that in... You see, they made it so nice, the controllers, to separate, you know, it's also the nature of 3D, to separate all these different angles of explaining spirituality and creating all these different books and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And but everything contains some great, true, information. Some religions describe certain things better than others. So that's why I use that example.
Oh. I have this friend who's from Iran, very close friend, and she told me that one time about a little ritual that they always do. And I think it's when they turn the water on, like a faucet or something. They do something, and I'll have to ask her what it was because I don't remember.
Yeah, because the water, this is why there's so much water purification going on in before people pray, they always wash. Because water is, it cuts the electricity. That's why bathing, showering, baptism, water is very important. Water it cuts electricity and puts out fire. That's really what it is. That's why they do it. You know, when we do healing sessions, we wash our hands afterwards because we want to get rid of that extra electricity that's unbounded and not grounded anymore.
Oh, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
yeah.
I don't have a question. I just had that comment, and I wondered if I could sit with you
okay.
just a little.
Yeah, let's do that.
And maybe you could, if you have any advice.
Mm. Okay. nothing in particular coming up right now, but it's nice. Just feeling calm right now, Sally?
Yeah, I felt a very, actually, I felt a very grounding energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just kind of put it all. Yeah, good. You're welcome. All right, thank you. Okay, we have one more, and then we're finished. And this is Katya. Hey, Katya.
Hi, Rajma. Yeah, I wanted to. Oh, I actually had a few questions, but now they kind of don't matter. So I just wanted to ask you if my heart is not spinning as much.
Okay. Yeah, it's better. It's much more still. You probably feel that right now, hey?
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to comment on, when you talked about ego and how you do, like if you do some spiritual practice, you might develop more ego, right? Because you have all this awareness and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So I've also became aware that at some point my ego became much stronger. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's kind of interesting because I'm doing all these meditations and doing, you know, some other practices. How come my ego is stronger? But I did notice that. And I mean, lately I did go through a couple of dissolutions, which I think kind of removed some of that. But I just thought I would mention that.
Yeah, I'm glad you're noticing that. It will always come up, and people will usually leave and sometimes pick a fight with me or something, or just think I'm stupid, or some battle will come up, and I prefer people just go. Or there comes a moment when you recognize this and you really humble yourself, and that can be quite a battle. You'll have the battle within yourself. So, to summarize, you'll have the battle either with the teacher or you're going to have the battle with yourself. Everybody will get to that point, and you will have to recognize, you know, where you're at, because at that point, the teacher might, it depends, you know, I'm not the person who's going to point that out. I'm the quiet person. I will watch, and I might hint on something, but I will not say, hey, you're at that point right now, you make a decision, because it's too obvious. The person has to come to a place of love, has to come to a place of making that truly from themselves, out of their own power and decision, that they want to open their heart more and be more humble. And because there's no other way, right? If we want to really rejoin back into the universal point, we have to kind of meet these egoic, you know. Yeah, it's just the way it is. So I'm glad you can recognize that.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know about the battles.
Not yet.
Okay. No, I haven't been there yet. Okay.
No, you haven't been there yet.
So it might come up. I see. Good to know. Okay. Hopefully not during the retreat.
No, not quick, not that fast. No, not yet.
Okay, good.
All right.
Okay, thank
okay.
you.
All right, thanks, Katya. All right, I'll meet you here. All right, thank you, everybody. Let's take a breath here and just kind of let it all go and just know that you are whole. You're already the self. You're in the process of realizing that. You are desiring to realize that. You sometimes have experienced moments of it, and just to trust yourself and to just be open and innocent. And it's such a pleasant experience to just be open and innocent, and that's where all your power is. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Thank you. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.